This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Jamie Lobo. Big O, I'm concerned about this decision to move on from Boyer. Unless they have some established, outstanding defensive coordinator lined up, this just feels wrong. The guy had very little to work with. Okay. By the way, Bitcoin over 23,000. Let me tell you what I think is going on. Okay, overall with this deal. I think at first I thought, okay, they released Boyer because they already have a plan in place. Remember I told you that? And no, I think it's they released Boyer to do the decent thing, to give him an opportunity to, you know, get his situation straightened out and go find a job so he has plenty of time. And now they're going to go through the process of can they get Vic Fangio or somebody else if Fangio doesn't want to go to Denver with Sean Payton, which I still don't think Sean Payton will go to Denver. I think he's going to go to either Carolina or Houston. I would go to Houston with all the money and the picks and everything that they have and the high pick. I think they have the number two pick in the draft, so he can get his young quarterback right away. Carolina's also good. They've got some defensive players. So those are the two best spots. I think he's only using the other ones as pure leverage. That's all. Especially with Denver, because the Walmart family, the Waltons, I think is the guy's name, they own Walmart, and they're filthy rich. And so you want to keep that guy in play because you want to use their offer against Houston and against Carolina. And David Tepper's not going to have a problem anyway. He'll pay Sean what he wants. So I think Fangio goes with Sean to one of those places in Miami. We'll get some of the young guys that might be available, or maybe even a Lovie Smith. I don't know. I don't know which direction they're going to go in. But I think they did the decent thing for Boyer to give him an opportunity to catch on somewhere else. Whereas with the special teams coach, which I think they're also going to change, but they've hung on to him because they don't know where they're going, and they don't care about giving him his opportunity to get out as soon as possible and go get a job. So I almost think that it's more of a cold and callous way of doing it for the special teams coach, and it was the decent thing to do for Josh Boyer because – they felt like, okay, let's be fair to him. We're not going to sign him anyways. You're going to go after somebody. And who knows, Boyer may have also said, hey, listen, guys, if we're not going to, you know, I'd like the opportunity to get out on the open market as soon as possible. I probably will see Boyer next week at the Senior Bowl looking for a job, because I'll see a lot of coaches that are out of work in that case, you know? So I think it's more about that. I don't think you should be concerned that this is a real problem, okay? Look, man, new coaches get whoever they want. I don't think Boyer did a bad job, actually. I thought he did a pretty solid job considering what he had left on that defense, you know, and he gave his team a chance every single week to win. At no point was that defense the reason why you ended up losing a game. It was always giving the offense the opportunity to win the game and carry them, which is what they should do because they are the best side of that team.
This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
We have Steve Chapman in the house. Yes, sir. He says, from what I saw yesterday, there's no reason why the Dolphins couldn't beat both Buffalo and Cincinnati. Keep the faith. The future is bright. The Dolphins could have swept the Bills this year. That's all. Pretty simple. You know, Buffalo is not, they're a hell of a team, but they're not invincible and they're not unreachable or any of that bullshit. You know, that's what I saw from all of, and I've been watching this before even yesterday's game. I told you guys that a healthy Dolphin team could have swept the Bills this year. They should have won 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Mike McDaniel did a lot of stupid ass shit in that game. Tyreek Hill and Trent Sherfield dropped a damn touchdown. Braylon Sanders had a stinking brain fart. They had that game, dude. That would have been 2-0 in the regular season. And they almost beat him if it wasn't again for Mike McDaniel making more bad decisions on game day. They could have beat him with their third string quarterback, dude. And they were injury riddled completely on that team. No secondary. Kohu saved their asses, along, of course, with the safety. My God, if Kohu does not develop, wow. Longer season, actually, in all of this. I can't wait to get all these guys back next year. Get everybody healthy. Give me some luck. That's all I want from the goddamn Dolphins. Give me some luck. Give me some breaks. If that happens, the Dolphins can compete with anybody. This team that's here right now, healthy. And now the front office has a couple of picks. They can maneuver. They can make a move or two. So they can still improve the team that you currently have. Even with the idiot owners giving away a first and a third. This stuff with, you know, there's fearing the Bills and all this shit. Please, already enough. There's no fearing the Bills anymore. Okay? McDaniel's got to grow as a game day coach. He's got to start making better decisions, more mature decisions, not immature decisions like, oh, Mike Gesicki doesn't fit my offense, so I can't play him. No, dude, you signed him. You signed him to you made your front office sign him, right? Because if you really weren't going to play him, you should have just said, hey, Chris, don't bother. I'm not going to play the guy. So some kind of an agreement was there where, yeah, we'll figure out something. You didn't figure out shit. You didn't figure out how to use a real weapon. And that's a bad look by Mike McDaniel. That's a terrible look by Mike McDaniel. Because you're Eric Spoelstra, sometimes you've got to work with Whiteside and the Johnsons and Deion Waiters, and you got to work through it. And then sometimes you'll have the big three, and your life will be slightly easier. And then there are times where you're going to have a whole bunch of young guys now that you got to kind of develop. You don't get the same team every year. You don't get the same luxuries every year. Sometimes you're stuck with Brock Purdy, and you got to make the best of it. And guess what? You do. And that's what really good coaches do. They adjust to the talent that they have. And, you know, and I did all of this now, and I kept it in today's world. So I didn't go back to the old man phase. Well, Don Shula did it with Bob Greasy in a strong running game. And then he went with Woodstock to the Super Bowl. Half a quarterback on one side and half a quarterback on the other. How do you like them apples? And then he got Marino, and he passed his way to all kinds of records. I didn't do that to you, but I just did. But see, what I'm saying is, the bottom line is, a great coach adjusts to what he has. And sometimes you're Tony Sperano, not, you know, God rest in peace. Great man. Looks like a really good guy overall. Did I think he was much of a head coach? No, not at all. But to his credit, he didn't have anything going on. And he adjusted to the Wildcat. And it helped him. That's good coaching. That's actually good coaching. While I don't think that Tony Sperano was ever going to become a great head coach or a guy that you really want as your head coach, but damn it, dude, that's what a coach does. I'm in a pickle. I don't know what to do. How do I get out of this? You know what? That's an interesting idea you bring. Let's try it. There you go. New England Patriots baffled. You win, what was it, like 38-3 or something? I don't know, whatever the hell it was. But you kicked her ass that day. You left Belichick, you know, flummoxed. Is that the word? Either way, you got to adjust. And I, you know, I was pretty disappointed with Mike McDaniel, and I kept talking about it for several weeks, his game day decisions. You know, can't even figure out a challenge. Took you 18 weeks to do it. And I don't want to hear a joke on the podium about it, bro. I don't want to hear a joke about your freaking incompetence. You want to joke about it after you won a Super Bowl? Hey, we won a Super Bowl, but man, did we have a thank God it didn't come down to a challenge winning the Super Bowl. Now we can laugh. But when you're, you know, barely getting into the playoffs and you lost several games because the guy on the sidelines lost games for you, don't joke about it, bro. Don't joke about it because your people didn't catch that tight end dropping the ball for the Jets. Don't joke about it. Okay? There's time to joke, and then there's a time not to joke. And unless you won a Super Bowl or you had one incredible season, so there's this team is not far from the Bills at all. They got to stay healthy. Somewhat healthy. You're going to have some injuries, especially Tua's got to learn how to, and I believe Tua can stay healthy. It's up to him now if he wants to do it. If he wants to start playing smart. And then we need the coach who is smart to coach smart. Okay? And that's something he has not done at times. And that's unacceptable for the head coach. The head coach has to be sharp 99.9% of the time. Has to. That's his job. And that guy failed a whole bunch of times this year. And he better do, he gets the break, he gets the pass because he's a rookie coach. But he's not escaping without critique. He's not escaping, you know, injury free. No. We're going to beat him up a little bit here. He needs to grow. And this is a conversation I cannot have next year. If I'm having this conversation about Mike McDaniel, the next part of that conversation is fire his ass. Let's get that straight now. Okay? I don't care what you do on offense. Don't matter to me, dude. You need to show me that you can win games, and you can't go 8-3 and then shit the bed the rest of the way. So Miami is, they got to get out of the way of themselves. And they can beat the Bills. I already told you this several weeks ago. When, or 2 weeks ago, okay? When was the last time you saw the Dolphins play the Bills like this three straight times? They're beatable, and Miami has the kryptonite to beat them. But they got to coach smart. They got to stay healthy. And Tua has to learn how to stay healthy. And he can. He's got to stop playing, you know, hero ball. When he does that, they'll be fine. They'll be absolutely fine. So that's the one thing that I learned from this. The Dolphins are definitely not far from the Buffalo Bills. Not at all. They're right there. And that's where I don't want a lot of people to get, you know, allow the negativity to cloud everything going on. You stay strong here. You stay with the plan you've got going forward. If the thing at 8-3, nobody was complaining about anything. Nobody was complaining about Tua. Nobody was complaining about McDaniel. Nobody was complaining about Chris Greer. Nobody was complaining about anything. At that time, everything was fine. And then everything else happened. And so it's up to them now. It's up to Tua to take care of himself. It's up to McDaniel to assess what he has done and what he needs to change. And he has to learn to also adjust, because in the next coming season, you might put together a roster you like and fits what you want to do. But guess what? Certain people may get injured and it may change what you have to do. And then you're going to have to adjust to it. And you did a shitty job of adjusting this year to certain things that you had, like the tight end spot in Mike Gesicki, like some of the usage that you had at wide receiver that you put Braylon Sanders in positions that he wasn't ready for. These are things that you've got to get better as a head coach. So Dolphins aren't that far. They're right there on the Bills. That's the one thing that I've come away from this. This division can be won by the Miami Dolphins next season. Do they need a couple breaks? Every team does. That's just kind of the way it is. You know what I mean? You gotta have some of those breaks. Hopefully, that's what ends up happening.
This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com. From the loosest slots in the state to one of the most comfortable poker rooms in South Florida, enjoy their smoke-free casino at HialeahParkCasino.com.
In sports, we lack patience. And as Dolphin fans, we lack a lot of patience. And that comes from frustrations of a quarter century. And if you're 30 years old or 35 or 25, you live a really frustrated life because you've never seen a good Dolphins team. You have no idea what a good Dolphins team is. If you're over 50, you've witnessed great Dolphin teams. You've maybe even seen a championship. And you're frustrated because they've never resembled that ever again. They've never even come close. You know what it looks like personally because you've seen it. But you have never witnessed it again because they can't achieve it, right? So the frustrations come from it. And then sometimes we don't have patience when we even have something good. And, you know, here we are. Some of you want to get rid of Tua, the number one rated passer in the NFL. Something the Dolphins have never achieved post-Marino. They've never had a guy that was even probably top 10 rated passer. Maybe the year Pennington, because he... But I mean, it wasn't really an impressive year and points or anything, but it was like 20 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. But the ratio maybe gave him a high rating, right? And so now we've got people that want to get rid of the number one rated quarterback. We've got people that want to get rid of Mike McDaniel. We've got people that want to get rid of Chris Greer. Yet this is a team that should have beaten Buffalo 3 straight times. Even the third time with their third string quarterback and a crap ton of injuries, they still had a chance to win that game. They should have won the second game. And they still weren't healthy, but Tua played more than well enough to win that game. He did everything to win that game. Others failed and lost that game. But they easily should have won that game. And yet you have people that want to change. And so I mention this because patience is needed. And I'll tell you why. Zach Taylor. So Zach Taylor was here in Miami. He was an assistant coach. Did you know they had a pretty decent head coach sitting there? No. Because most of us thought Zach Taylor was here because he was related to another coach that was here. So it was kind of like nepotism. Then he goes up there and he wins like, what, 3 games or 4 games his first year or something? Has another crappy second year, little improvement. And now look at them. And Zach Taylor is winning with Mike Brown as the owner. One of the worst owners in the history of the NFL. A cheap ass owner. And yet, they made it to the Super Bowl last year. They landed a great quarterback, and they've built a hell of a team around a great quarterback. They've got the best wide receiving core. They've got a Pro Bowl caliber running back. They added linemen this offseason. Now they've lost a couple of injuries. And they've got a young defense that is actually playing really, really well. And Zach Taylor had to learn how to get the right people in place. And things are falling in place. And in Cincinnati, they've never won. Something that at least Miami has had success. They have some championships. But Cincinnati has only had a few flash seasons. A couple where they actually went pretty far in the playoffs to the Super Bowl and everything. But they have no hardware. And look, Zach Taylor experiment did not start well, but it's working out pretty well right now for him. And all I'm saying is, I'm not telling you that Mike McDaniel is definitely going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm telling you we should be patient with what's going on with Mike McDaniel, because a lot of it was pretty intriguing stuff, pretty impressive stuff compared to the offenses we've seen in the past. Chris Greer, some of you want to kill him, right? But again, I go back and tell you, they were 8-3. The only reason the season went awry, it's because a bunch of people got injured. But if you keep most of them healthy, they would have done a lot better than 9-8. And less people would be, you know, bitching and complaining. So it's up to Tua to play smart. And it's up to the others to hopefully have a little better luck and stay healthy. But staying the course and showing patience is something that could possibly pay off for the Dolphins. Why? Because the quarterback's already shown you he can play. He just has to be responsible and get rid of the football. The coach has shown you he knows offense. He's got to get better on game day. And the front office has found players in the draft, has found players in street free agency, has found players in regular free agency, has made good trades. Are all the moves perfect? No. But damn, dude, this is still one of the better teams you've seen in as a Dolphins fan over the last 20 years. And they would have been much better if it wasn't for the injuries. So just like patience allows Zach Taylor to grow and have success, which, by the way, happens in other areas. Jalen Hurts is not the same quarterback now that he was in his first year. Little patience. The kid has developed his accuracy and is playing a lot better. Hey, I got to tell you, I didn't believe in Dan Campbell. Still not convinced yet, but he's well on his way to proving me wrong. Because it wasn't that impressive the first couple of years. This year, damn, dude. I think, what was it? Was it over 500? 9-8, right? I think they ended, I want to say. I want to say this was their first year in a long time over 500. They didn't make the playoffs, but for the Lions, that's a hell of a season, dude. And that's improvement. That's enough improvement that you have to say, hey, is this Dan Campbell guy the real deal? Let's give him another year. 9-8, right? Let's give him another year. Sometimes patience pays off. Sometimes staying the course is the right thing to do, especially when there's evidence that it can work. And right now, all three elements can work. They just need a little luck every once in a while. And by the way, most championship teams, they get some luck along the way. The ball bounces their way, or they stay healthy, whatever it is, dude. Okay? I don't care if it's a tuck rule. I don't care if it's, was it Bateman? What was the name of the guy that got in the way in the Chicago game for the Marlins? Bateman? Bartman. Bartman. You know what I'm saying? There's an immaculate reception. There's all kinds of things that happen in games, and it helps you out. And then also it's injuries that can help you out. And to me, that's really what the Dolphins need more than anything else. They need a couple of breaks. The elements are there more than you've ever seen them. Okay? The coach will grow. Hopefully the quarterback can grow. And then obviously the front office can keep doing what they're doing, and maybe you'll get a couple breaks. And people will stay healthy. Be patient, man.
This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Go to myedgedrink.com and order the only energy drink I enjoy because it's delicious, smooth, and has zero aftertaste. That's my kind of energy drink. It's the Big O's choice. Make it yours. Get the Edge at myedgedrink.com.
All these crybabies need to get over it, LOL. Dolphins organization is not listening to your whining. Tua is the quarterback next season. Get over it. Exactly. And why torture yourself for the rest of the season fighting it, the rest of the offseason fighting it? Get on board, man. Be a fan. You know what I'm saying? Why complain about something that you got no control over? And why wouldn't you want Tua to succeed? And why wouldn't you want to give it one more chance? Just in case. You know what would be so Dolphins to just trade Tua now and he goes somewhere else and he becomes Drew Brees? Because it's the same shit. You had the chance to sign Drew Brees. No, you had the chance to draft Drew Brees. Okay? And they chose Jamar Fletcher. Right? Then you get... This is so Dolphins... You get a second chance at a Hall of Famer. And we say, no thanks. We'll take the guy with the bum knee that can't really pass from the pocket. So Dolphins. And you know what's so Dolphins? Let's just trade away Tua and Sean Payton picks him up and says, you're good, kid. I'll show you how to do it. And then he goes off to the Hall of Fame again. And then we sit there crying in our milk. And Drew Brees had a bad shoulder. Oh, that'll never happen. The fun fact out of all that, and nobody ever really understands, the Saints doctors a few years before that had a quarterback by the name of Aaron Brooks, who they traded for from Green Bay. Young, talented kid, had a whip of an arm. Wasn't necessarily deadly accurate. Accuracy was a thing that was a little off for him at times, but had a lot of talent. And that was one of Ron Wolf's quarterbacks. One season, he had Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Mark Brunell, and Aaron Brooks. He trades Aaron Brooks to New Orleans. He trades Mark Brunell to Jacksonville. They cut Kurt Warner, who then goes to the bags groceries and then ends up in the Arena League, then ends up in St. Louis. They draft Matt Hasselbeck and then trade him to Seattle. Just wanted you to know what Ron Wolf is because he's a badass. So anyways, so they trade Aaron Brooks. Aaron Brooks in his fourth or fifth season, I believe, with New Orleans, suffers a shoulder injury. And it was similar, not exactly the same, and they were able to rehab him and bring him back. So the Miami doctors were afraid of it because they had never worked on a guy to come back from a shoulder injury. Knees, lots of guys come back from knee injuries at that point already. So they took a chance on the knee because they weren't comfortable with the shoulder. The Saints took a chance on the shoulder because they had already been through it. So Dolphins. And so this is why I'm telling you that for all your haste and your frustrations and your anger and you're bottled up like a volcano for like the last 25 years, put a cap on it. Relax. The answer isn't right outside the door for you. Sometimes you got to work for it. Sometimes you got to be patient for it, you know? And right now, it looks like you got a coach that can figure things out. You got a front office. You definitely got the quarterback. Give it another chance. That's how it pays off.
This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Nature Bee. Hey, it's Big O. In a virus-filled world, boost your immune system the way I have for 20 years. 2 capsules a day, sustained energy all day long. Order at naturebee.com and use my code Big O for free shipping. Naturebee.com.
Kyle F. Eldridge, thank you for the love on the Super Chat. He says, why do these idiots act like Tua isn't the best quarterback we've had since Marino? People act like the Dolphins are just so great at finding QBs. For once, they can just see we have a top 10 QB finally. My brother, it's not just a Dolphins thing. You know, it's lots of teams. Arizona's still trying to figure it out, and they got Kyler Murray, and they still haven't figured it out yet because he hasn't figured it out yet. And for years, they haven't had a guy. The Detroit Lions don't have quarterbacks. Now they're, you know, Jared Goff is their guy. Quarterbacks are hard to find, man. The Tennessee Titans have had a Super Bowl caliber type team. All they need is the one guy that takes the snap to make them a Super Bowl winner, and they can't find it. That's really frustrating. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You lived it. It's called Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas and Patrick Tan and Sam Madison and Tim Bowens and Ricky Williams and all that. And no matter what, and Chris Chambers. Oh, man, we don't have the quarterback. You remember those days? Lots of teams struggle with this, man. Dolphins aren't the only ones. But before I get rid of the guy that is easily top five in this league because he was rated number one, you know, I'm not just going to hand away a top 10 quarterback. I just told you, I just gave you the whole thing to start the show with Josh Allen. All the stats, the whole team is there for you. Everything is there for the taking. Damn, it doesn't happen. Holy crap. How about the Cowboys? You think they've got a Super Bowl caliber team? Because it looks like it. They got a defense that is wicked. They got enough receivers. They got a serviceable tight end. They got a decent line. Oh, I'm sorry. They're missing the quarterback. You know how many times that happens? The New York Jets went to the AFC Championship game twice. Back-to-back years. Because they had a defense. They had a running game. They had an offensive line. Guess what they're missing? Oh, by the way, they're still missing it. The quarterback. So before I let go of Tua, who's the number one rated quarterback in the NFL, it's incredible to me the level of stupidity that's out there. Just dismissing Tua. Oh, well, no, he's going to get injured. Oh, no, he's this, that. Dude, he's better than anything that they've ever had here since Marino. So until you can find a guy that's better and can stay healthy, good luck with that one, then I'll make the change. Meanwhile, I'm staying with Uno. That's my guy, okay? I get it. He's got some faults, but guess what? They're fixable, and I've proven it over and over and over again. All his major injuries come from holding the ball 4 to 5 seconds. Apparently, he survived all the other hits, pretty much, except the one Jesse Davis hit that he got hit in the ribs. Okay, that one was under 3 seconds because Jesse Davis got beat right off the line. But outside of that, throughout his whole career, he's dealt with all the other regular quarterback hits and has survived. Oh, and by the way, even with the ribs, he wanted to come back early, and the coach that was there didn't let him. So he would have missed only one game. He would have played the week before Baltimore, but they didn't let him. And so then the Baltimore game, well, Jabroni Brissett said, yeah, no, let's open the door for Tua. Broken knuckle and ribs, and he beat the Ravens. No, but let's go replace that guy. No, let's go replace the guy that beats the Ravens with broken ribs and a knuckle coming off the bench, and then the next year they fall behind 21 on the road and beats them. Because, you know, our quarterbacks have always been beating Baltimore all the time. You know, I'm so used to watching the Dolphins dominate the Baltimore Ravens. Aren't you? No, right? You know what we're used to with the Baltimore Ravens? We're used to abuse. Ask them what's happened the last 2 years. Look what's gone on with the... What quarterback has played Buffalo the way... Well, he didn't play the third one. But the other two and the team overall played them tough. Team's right there, man. Team's right there.
This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Edge Energy Drink. Grab the energy drink that gives me the edge with the best ingredients, low pH levels, delicious, and zero aftertaste. Order it at myedgedrink.com.
Outside of Brady or Carr, there's absolutely nothing. My man Tua is the guy. He's going to get rid of the ball and take less hits. He'll be fine. I hope so. I'm with you guys. I think he's going to take a nice step forward next year. And listen, let's talk a little bit about Tua and the Dolphins here on all of this. And I just touched on base with it with Will. He has to be motivated now to play smart because now he has to play for his future. See, the first couple of years, he was trying to prove you wrong. And as I told you before anybody else, he listens. He takes receipts, as the kids say nowadays, right? I told you he did that. And so all of you out there saying he was too short and his arm wasn't strong enough and he can't throw the deep ball and he can't run a high-powered offense and all that stuff, he heard all of you. And the crazy SOB went to every extreme to prove that he can do all of that. Hell, they said he couldn't throw the deep ball. He became one of the more prolific deep ball passers in the NFL this year. If he wasn't number one, he was number two or number three at one point or another throughout the season. One of the most prolific long-distance passers in the NFL is Tua Tagovailoa. Why? Because he kept hearing it from you all out there. So now guess what he's hearing? Oh, he can't stay healthy. He can't stay healthy. Because the narrative has changed. Remember, we talked about this last week. Notice how the narrative has completely changed now. Now nobody talks about, oh, Tua can't play, Tua can't throw. Because you'd be an idiot if you say that at this point. Because you can see he can throw, he can play. So now he heard that you can't stay healthy, right? So now he's got to stay motivated because he takes receipts to stay healthy. But then in comes Lee Steinberg, the most influential person in his financial world, his agent. His agent's going to sit down and say, Tua, you did a great job last year, man. You proved to everybody you can play. But you're getting injured. We gotta change your game. You got to learn to get rid of the ball. You can't go take on tacklers. I need you to stay healthy. It's the only way I can negotiate a long-term contract and financial security for you and your family for the rest of your life. It's the only way that if you stay healthy, you're going to do more Muscle Milk commercials. It's the only way that if you stay healthy, you will be a viable spokesperson for many other sponsors over the next couple of years. But if you're breaking down, you're out of football, you're rehabbing injuries, I can't get you a long-term contract, and I can't get you all the sponsorships. So that becomes a real problem for you, isn't it, Tua? Yes, sir. Yes, Lee. Okay. So let's do the right thing. So he's going to be motivated, I think, because he hears all of you talk about that he can't stay healthy, right? Because that's all you can say about him now, right? All of you are already wrong already that he couldn't play. The healthy part? You're all right. Every one of you is right, and now he has to prove you wrong. He already proved all the people out there that doubted him that said he couldn't play. Every one of you, you look terrible. You're wrong. You weren't even close to being right, put it that way. So, but now you've switched over to, well, it doesn't matter. He can't stay healthy. And he hears it. So he's going to be motivated to change all of that. And that's why I think that there's potential to actually keep Tua on the field and have a future with him because he's got to learn, okay, I got to make a quick decision and I'm done. If not, throw it away. Throw it at somebody's feet, throw it out of bounds, whatever. But get rid of the football. Don't take hits when you don't have to. That's the way I look at Tua Tagovailoa's situation.